Welcome to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. And thank you for welcoming me also. It is my greatest happiness and my good fortune. When I say good fortune, I mean a fortune beyond the limits of my imagination to be with all of you today. Thank you for being with us. Today is the holy day of Ekadasi. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he called Ekadasi the mother of devotion for those who observe. To observe Ekadasi in essence, in spirit, is to completely absorb our body, mind, and words in remembrance of Krishna. Chanting his holy names, hearing his glories, associating with sadhus, devotees, and engaging in devotional service. Absorption in Krishna through these nine processes of bhakti is the gift that Krishna has given us to return to our original natural consciousness, or Krishna consciousness. In whatever sphere of life we may be, to remember Krishna in the mood of being the servant of the servant of the servant is actually our success. By a material analysis, how much money, profit, fame, victory, how good grades we get, this is considered success. But for the soul, for a human being who is aspiring for real happiness, samsidhir hari toshana, that is our success. How we are pleasing Krishna. Is Krishna pleased with our efforts? What pleases Krishna? Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati. Is our devotion, our love. Because Krishna, as Lakshminath, the Lord of the Goddess of Fortune, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, the proprietor of everything that exists, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava Mata Sarvam Pravartate, the source of all material and spiritual worlds, he's not pleased with any material thing that we acquire, or even what we offer to him. Duryodhana was ready and willing to make one of the most materially opulent offerings ever made to Krishna. But Krishna would not even look at it. He had no interest in it. Because the only thing that interests Krishna is our love. And that love is our potential. It is how Krishna created us. And through devotional service, Srila Prabhupada explains the goal and the means to achieve the goal are the same. By rendering service to Krishna with devotion, we ultimately awaken the desire to serve Krishna with devotion. But with pure, Prabhupada said, unalloyed devotion. Unalloyed means no lust, no anger, no arrogance, no envy, no greed, no illusion. No egoism or selfishness. Samsidhir haditoshana. Whatever we do, we speak, we think is for Krishna's pleasure. It is a devotee's goal to apply this principle every day, every moment. Ekadasi is a time when we have the chance to really focus on that. By minimizing our physical routines, demands, to be more and more absorbed in remembering Krishna through these processes, especially Sravanam Kirtanam, hearing and chanting. On our Vaishnav calendar, there are many holy days. There is Ekadasi twice a month. There are the days of the appearance of various forms of Krishna in this world, or days that where we celebrate Krishna's pastimes, Janamastami, Radhastami. Yesterday was Dasera, Ram Vijayotsava, the appearance day of Krishna, the appearance day of Sri Radharani, the day that Ram vanquishes Ravana. There is Gopastami, Govardhan Puja, Diwali. We celebrate Krishna stealing butter, being bound by Yashoda. There is the appearance day of Sri Radha Kund, Radha Kunastami, Ram Nomi, Varaha Dadasi, Vamana Dwadasi, Holi, Gaur Purnima, Nityananda Trayodasi, Adwaita's appearance, Gadadhar's appearance. And then there are many, many appearance and disappearance days. There's Balaram's appearance day. Of great acharyas, whose lives illustrate to us not only philosophically, but historically. Because these great personalities, when we remember the events of their lives and what they taught us through their words and example, it gives us something very tangible to aspire for. Mahajano Jaina Katha Sapanta. The path to perfection is to follow in footsteps of great souls. It is an act of arrogance to try to imitate great souls. Imitation means by doing things that we think they have done, we can get some benefits materially. We can get fame, we can get name, or even by thinking we can make spiritual advancement by imitating them. It's not possible. Why is it not possible? This is a deep subject. Because what pleases Krishna is the mood of service. The actual mood of service is not just what we do, but how we do it. The mood of service is one of humility, one of respect. Following in the footsteps of great souls means they are so much beyond me, but the example they set in a humble spirit, I want to follow that. And sometimes Krishna makes the great souls do things that are just impossible for us to imitate. But we have faith that the depth of their devotion empowers them to do things beyond human ability. But in our vulnerable, frail, little condition, we want to take those principles and make them the aspiration of our life. That's what it means to be the servant of the servant of the servant in this sense. Today on this Ekadasi, we are celebrating today, it is the disappearance day of three of our most exalted gurus, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, Srila Raghunath Bhat Goswami, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Let us very briefly explore some of the special events in their lives and what we could learn to deepen our own personal devotion, individually and collectively. Raghunath Das Goswami, he, in certain ways, contradicted the natural propensities of this material world. At the same time, he lived in perfect harmony with what everyone is ultimately looking for. He was born in a village called Krishnapur, which is just a few miles from Adi Saptagram. His father, Govardhan Majumdar, and his uncle, Hiranya, they were extremely wealthy. They were landowners. And the Nawab Hussein Shah, who was the Mughal ruler of that area in Bengal, he had such respect for them because they had such intelligence, such power over the people, and such vast acquisition of land, that if they paid their taxes to him, he allowed them to rule like kings of their own area, as long as they paid their taxes, and they paid huge taxes. They were devotees. They were very close with Advaitacharya. They would give a lot of donations, actually, to the Vaishnavas. And between the two of them, they only had one son, and that was Raghunath. So he was the heir to all of their wealth. What they did is they paid the taxes to the king, the Nawab, but they were so intelligent materially. They understood how valuable land could be. They were kayastas, Srila Prabhupada explained a true Vaishya or business person is a person in any situation you put them, they know how to make a profit. If things in the world are going up, they see the opportunity. If things in the world are going down, they see the opportunity. If things are going in the world are going all around, they see the opportunity. Because that's their focus. Of course, they were doing it for Krishna, partially. They respected everything was Krishna's, but still, they kept a lot for their own purposes. So land, every molecular particle of land, for a devotee, is an opportunity to please Krishna. For a ruler, an opportunity to be a ruler. To a person who is in a mercantile mentality, is an opportunity to make profit. So beyond their taxes, they made huge profits, and they got to keep all the rest. It is said that they had an annual earning of about 800,000 rupees a year. And in those days, 1 rupee would buy 675 pounds of rice. Hare Krishna. And sometimes they would make millions of rupees a year. They were family people. And especially they were Bengali in that sense. So family is very important to the common Bengali people. And they knew they had to die. They had to get old. So Raghunath, he was the prize of their life. He was beautiful. He was in really good health. He was super intelligent, respectful, cultured. He was just the perfection of what a son would be. So their joy in life was that he was going to assist them. Ultimately, when they start getting older, they could turn over everything over to him. He would take care of them. He would take care of the estate. He would give them grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren. And the whole legacy that they were giving their lives to create was with him. They were proud of Raghunath. Their family priest was named Balaramacharya, and their guru was Yadunandanacharya. Yadunandanacharya was a disciple of Advaita Prabhu and a very dear friend of Basudev Dutt. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we read about in Benapole, which is today East Bengal or Bangladesh, Haridas Thakur was residing. Ramchandra Khan, a very arrogant, envious person, he tried to destroy Haridas Thakur's life by sending a prostitute to corrupt him. But Haridas Thakur, he, with such compassion, even though he understood this person's evil intentions, he chanted for her, and ultimately she became his disciple, and she became a great saint, a pure devotee. We worship her even today, whether we know it or not. It's part of Haridas Thakur's glory, is this lady. And he gave her his tulsi and his bhajan kutir, and he left, and came to a place called Chandpur. Chandpur is where Yadunandanacharya and Balaramacharya were residing. And Raghunath had an uncle named Kalidas who lived close by. So Balaramacharya and Yadunandanacharya, they were so enthusiastic that Haridas Thakur has come. They wanted to share his association with the most esteemed people of the province. So they had a gathering where they called many scholars, many erudite and influential people of the area for Haridas Thakur to speak. And they especially asked him to speak on the glories of the holy name of Krishna, which he did. During that time, Balaramacharya brought little Raghunath, who was just a child, to receive the blessings of Thakur Haridas. This example, although it's extraordinary considering the people involved, it's also instructive of how blessings and association that we give our little children exposure to can create deep samskaras, deep influence in their hearts. I guess that baby is seeking some blessing. Hari Hari. Haridas Thakur, he cared nothing for anything except the loving service of the Lord, which he expressed through constantly chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. He was tasting such transcendental happiness chanting Hare Krishna mantra. He wanted to share it with the world. It's the nature of one who tastes love of Krishna through chanting the names of Krishna. They feel compassion. The deepest compassion is to share that love with others. When Raghunath saw Haridas's complete renunciation, it inspired him. It transformed him. It awakened something within him that could never be taken away. Real renunciation is not just depriving the body and mind of material pleasures or comforts. Real renunciation is to be without any false ego. To be totally absorbed in the loving service of the Supreme Lord. Ambarish Maharaj and Durvas Muni. One lived in a palace, one lived in caves. Who was more renounced? Ambarish Maharaj lived in the palace because he had no false ego. He was totally absorbed in loving service. So Haridas Thakur, the reason for his renunciation, he lived in caves. At one time he lived in a cave where a venomous snake was his roommate. And this snake had such venom just by the snake's breathing. Anybody who went in the cave, their skin would burn, their eyes would burn, they would taste this poison in their tongue and they would have to get out. They couldn't stay for more than a few minutes. It was intolerable. But Haridas Thakur lived there. He didn't mind because he was so absorbed in remembering Krishna and chanting Krishna's holy names. So this type of renunciation, this type of faith, Shraddha, or faith, comes by associating with people who have that faith and by hearing from them and by witnessing how they live according to what they speak. Raghunath Das wanted what Haridas Thakur had, that love for Krishna, that complete attachment to Krishna's names. And because just by wanting that, he lost all his interest in all of the promises of happiness in this material world. Now, this created quite a disturbance to the family, because they were multimillionaires, practically what we would call billionaires. And they wanted, their life's goal was to train him to be the heir to everything. But he had no interest. And even though they were like kings who were controlling the whole province, they couldn't control him. But it wasn't that he was naughty. He was totally well behaved. He was so respectful. He was so gentle. At a certain time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he left Navadvip and took sannyas in Katwa. From Katwa, he was going to go to Vrindavan. But on his way, Nityananda Prabhu arranged a detour. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Shantipur, the Advaita Bhavan, the house of Sri Advaita Prabhu. Sachi Mata, the devotees of Navadvip, and so many others came to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For the first time, they are seeing him actually as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Previous to this, they knew him as Nimai, or Gauranga, Gorsundar, Sachinandan. But when he took sannyas, he was given the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya. When Sachimata saw him with his shaved head and his saffron-colored robes, she cried. All the devotees cried. They cried both in sadness, in a feeling of separation, that he's not going to come back to us anymore. Now he's a sannyasi. He's going to roam the world. And he's detaching himself. He's renouncing himself from all the pleasures of this world. But in happiness, because they were reunited with him. And ultimately, their only happiness was his happiness. If it makes you happy, my Lord, taking sannyas and giving up everything, then that is simultaneous our happiness and our unhappiness. Spiritual life is very subtle and deep and sometimes inconceivable. Raghunath Das went there he went there to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And now he's seeing Lord Gauranga as a sannyasi, the crest jewel of all sannyasis, who was perfectly living according to the highest, deepest principles of renunciation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had most beautiful wife, most loving mother, most wonderful friends, a wonderful house near the banks of the Ganges. Why did he leave it all? For Krishna's service. This really affected Raghunath Das. What is wealth? What is prosperity? Haridas Thakur has it. This great sannyasi, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has it. That's what I want. So he stayed with Lord Chaitanya about 10 days or so in Shantipur. And then he went home. But when he was home, He was so deeply immersed in wanting to be an associate of Lord Chaitanya. That he started running away from home. And his parents would bring him back. He was trying to escape everything that everyone wants in this world. I remember the time we took a group of devotees from Radha Gopinath Temple to Krishnapur, to Raghunath Das Goswami's parental home. Actually, when I was living in Vrindavan, I found a book about Raghunath Das Goswami from one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers. And I was so inspired. This is what I want, what he has. And then when Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita came out a few years later with Srila Prabhupada's translations and purports, I couldn't read enough times the stories of Raghunath Das Goswami. What he has, so beautiful, so great. I wanted for so many years to go to Krishnapur, the birthplace of Raghunath Das Goswami. So finally, after all those years, I was there with many of you. We were sitting, and his shoes are still there, and some of his personal possessions are still in the house. And then something came to my attention while I was speaking. I said, for so many years, I have been longing to come here to Raghunath Das Goswami's native place, his home. But for so many years, Raghunath Das Goswami was longing to escape his native place, his home. What I wanted to see, he never wanted to see again. So why did I want to see it so much? These are the inconceivable moods of bhakti. Ultimately, his father and mother, they hired 11 guards to watch over him 24 hours a day. And every time he would try to go away, they would bring him back. Nicely, they would bring him back. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on his way to Vrindavan, he went to Ramkeli. Sanatana Goswami told him, better you go back to Bengal, to Puri, go back to Puri, and come to Vrindavan with just one or two people, or just yourself. So Lord Chaitanya was returning from Ramkeli, Kanai Natashala, and he stopped again through Shantipur. And there Raghunath Das, with the permission of his parents and with his guards, he went to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And of course, whenever Raghunath came, Advaitacharya was very affectionate toward him. Because Advaita was very close with his guru, Yadunandanacharya, and very close with his father and uncle. So he would bring him right in for special service to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, now he's a teenager. Lord Chaitanya told Raghunath, you should go home and be completely absorbed in remembering Krishna, but act just like you're attached to materialistic life. He said, don't be a Markata Vairagi, a monkey renunciate. Because monkeys, they don't wear any clothes, and they just live in trees. And they just eat kapita and other types of berries. So it seems very renounced. But if you examine the life of a monkey, they have a lot of things they try to enjoy. There's always she monkeys and so many other egoistic fights that they have. So he said, you just act like an ordinary materialist, but in your heart, just be absorbed in Krishna. And in due course of time, by Krishna's mercy, he will relieve you of your bondage and fulfill your desire. So Raghunath went home. And he followed this instruction very nicely. And his parents were really happy because he seemed to be totally happy with his life again. His life of helping to manage their estate and engaging in their legal affairs and keeping the house nice and all of those things. And one time, his father and uncle, they had to actually hide. They had to run and hide because somehow they weren't paying the right amount of tax to the king. And the kings, there was this one tax collector close by who was envious of them. And he reported this to the king and sent soldiers to arrest them. So they were hiding. So they arrested Raghunath. And here Raghunath's in prison on behalf of his father and uncle. But he was so intelligent. He didn't need a lawyer. He just told the very person who made the charges. He said, you are just like my uncle. I have such affection for you. And I'm your nephew. You should have affection for me too. You're so respectable and you're so saintly and you're so good. And you and my father and uncle are like brothers, and sometimes brothers, they have disputes, but you shouldn't take it seriously. I'll arrange that they pay you back. And this person, who was so violently angry, he started crying. He embraced Raghunath. He said, yes, 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 you are my nephew. I love you. Please go home. Whatever arrangement you make, I'll be happy. That was Raghunath Das Goswami. So he went home. But after some time, he started to get restless again. Restless for a life of total, complete absorption in personal service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees. And he heard that in a nearby place on the bank of the Ganges called Panihati, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, who is the closest associate of Lord Chaitanya. Brajendra Nandana Jay Sachishuto Hoilo Jay Balaram Hoilo Nitai. He is Lord Balaram, direct, personally, in the form of Nityananda Prabhu. The original guru. And Raghunath understood that without the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, one cannot gain the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This principle of being the servant of the servant of the servant is there on the highest level of the spiritual associates of the Lord. So he convinced his father and mother and everyone else to let him go see Nityananda. While he was there, he saw Sri Nityananda Prabhu sitting on a rock under a huge banyan tree on the bank of Ganga with his loving associates. Raghunath, from a little distance away, offered his dandavat, prostrated obeisances. Nityananda Prabhu saw him He said, Raghunath, you're a thief. Why are you keeping a distant place? Come here. And then he grabbed Lord Raghunath Das Goswami and placed his lotus feet on Raghunath's head. Then Nityananda Prabhu, he said, I must punish you because you are acting like a thief by keeping a distant place. Also, one who tries to approach the Lord directly without going through the servant of the servant of the servant is like a thief trying to steal something you're not entitled to. You see, Krishna can never be taken. Love for Krishna is given. That's the spirit of Das Das Anudas. That the great previous acharyas, our gurus, we understand that they have Krishna as their property. And when they give Krishna to me, then I can receive. But to try to get Krishna directly, it's like stealing someone else's property. Shushushroshudanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Syan Mahatsevaya Viprapundya Tirtana Sevanat. Srimad Bhagavatam tells, one gets Krishna by developing an eagerness to hear about him, to chant about him. Nasta Praishya Badreshu Nityam Bhagavati Sevaya. By regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and rendering service to the people who have realized, who are living the Srimad Bhagavatam, all the inauspicious things of our heart are dispelled. Srinvatam svakata krishna punja sravana kirtana. And then when we develop this taste for hearing and chanting and serving the Lord, that eagerness, that taste, Krishna is so pleased because an eagerness is an expression of love. Then from within our heart, he himself dispels all the clouds and all of the anartas that separate us from his vision, from his grace. And then in this verse, Shushu Shosha Dadanasya, how do we get that eagerness? By serving great souls. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his beautiful prayer to the Vaishnava, to the Guru, he says, Krishna is yours. Therefore, I am behind you as your servant, crying out, Krishna, Krishna. So when Nityananda Prabhu tells Raghunath, you are a thief, means you're trying to get to Lord Chaitanya by your own efforts, but you can't. But by being the servant of the servant of the servant. And Raghunath understood this. So Nityananda Prabhu, he rewarded him with a punishment. He said, I will punish you in this way. You should give a feast of chitta dahi, chipped rice and yogurt, to all the devotees. So Raghunath was so happy. He's been given a chance to serve Nityananda Prabhu and all the Vaishnavas. It's his greatest happiness, the greatest wealth he ever achieved in his life. What was his enthusiasm? So with whatever funds he had, he was utilizing to buy the best quality chitta and dahi, and he was getting these Brahmins to prepare, and there were big clay pots, and he was soaking chipped rice in milk and then putting part of it in yogurt and part of it in condensed milk, and some of it had bananas and ghee and sugar and camphor. He was making wonderful preparations out of simple chipped rice. And soon the news spread, and people from all the villagers were coming. Raghunath Das Goswami, the son of Govardhan
Govardhan and Hiranya is sponsoring a feast under Nityananda's order. Who wouldn't go to that feast? Hundreds and hundreds, thousands of people were gathering. And when Raghunath saw it, he was more and more happy. The more people that came, the more service he could render. So he was going to other villages and getting more chitta and more dahi, and he was getting fruits and getting everything he could get that was nice. And was serving everyone. And when Lord Nityananda saw Raghunath Das Goswami, at that time Raghunath, his enthusiasm to serve, his enthusiasm to please all the devotees and all the people, he was so inspired because Nityananda Prabhu sees the heart. He sees our intention. It's not chitta and dahi that made Nityananda so happy. It was the intention in which Raghunath was offering it. So Nityananda Prabhu, knowing Raghunath's desire, with a prayer, he called Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to participate in this utsav. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in a spiritual body that only Nityananda Prabhu, his most confidential associates, and Raghunath Das, only these people could see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Others didn't know he was there. Because the Lord was revealing himself only to those people who had the love. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochane. To really appreciate. So together sitting under this banyan tree was Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And as everybody had their two little pots of chitta with condensed milk and dahi, Nityananda took Lord Chaitanya through the pathways between the prasadam eating devotees, and Lord Nityananda would take a morsel from each plate, from each little cup, and put it in Lord Chaitanya's mouth. And Lord Chaitanya did the same to Nityananda. And they were laughing. They were very happy. And then they came back to the tree, surrounded by their associates. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says it was the exact scene of Krishna and Balaram sitting with the gopas on the bank of the Yamuna in the forests of Vrindavan. At that time, Raghava Pandit, he made a wonderful feast for Nityananda Prabhu in his temple. And he said, Nityananda Prabhu, I invited you, you agreed to come, why are you not coming? And Nityananda Prabhu said, I'm just a cowherd boy, and I like to sit on the bank of Yamuna eating with my friend. So it was a glorious feast. And afterward, Raghava Pandit, under the instruction of Nityananda Prabhu, gave Raghunath Das Goswami the direct personal remnants of both Sri Chaitanya and Nityananda Prabhu. And that night at Raghava Pandit's house, there was a great kirtan. The next day, Raghunath Das Goswami came to Nityananda Prabhu with great humility and expressed his heart. He said, I am most fallen. I am so condemned. I'm so materially entangled. For me to desire to get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like a little dwarf to hope to touch the moon with his finger. But still, I yearn for that mercy. I pray, please bless me so that I can be engaged in the personal loving service in the shelter of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I've tried in so many ways, But I'm constantly being bound by material attachment. But everyone knows that one can only get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through you. Lord Nityananda was so pleased. He turned to all the devotees. He said, just see this Raghunath Das. He has the wealth of the King of Heaven. And he wants to leave it all for the personal loving service of Lord Chaitanya. He turned to Raghunath. He said, because you served and gave such happiness to all the Vaishnavas, they will bless you. Lord Nityananda requested all the devotees to give their blessings to Raghunath. And then he said, because you have been blessed by the Vaishnavas, and because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally came here to accept your offering, very soon, all impediments will be removed in your desire. You will be put under the personal care of Lord Chaitanya's secretary, Swarup Damodar Goswami. You will be one of his most intimate confidential servants of Sri Chaitanya. And all your desires will be fulfilled. Just be patient. Then Nityananda Prabhu placed his lotus feet on top of Raghunath's head. Raghunath Das Goswami secretly, through Raghava Pandit, gave wonderful gifts to all the devotees. Then he went back home. But he was so convinced and so enthusiastic, he wouldn't even go into his house. In the courtyard was a Durga Mandap. He would sleep there. His parents had the guards all around him. They didn't know what to do with Raghunath. The mother said to the father, we should tie him up. Tie him to a pillar with a rope, because he's going to escape. And the father, he sighed, his heart in great anguish. He said, what will that do? We've already bound him with wealth, like a heavenly king. We've already gotten him married to a perfectly beautiful lady, like an angel who's chaste and who has all good qualities. We've given him everything everyone in this world wants. If these things cannot bind him, what will be the value of a rope? Our son has become a madman because he has received the causeless mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's nothing we can do. But still they tried. So they had the guards on watch. One day, about an hour before the sunrise, or about an hour before the dawn, Raghunath Das was sleeping. And seeing that, all the guards were sleeping too. Yadunandan Acharya, the family guru, he woke up Raghunath. He said, the pujari has left his services for the temple. This is creating a disturbance for Krishna and for us. And because Raghunath was so absolutely expert at dealing with other people, Yadunandan Acharya said, can you go and speak to him and convince him to resume his duties? So Yadunandan Acharya was walking with Raghunath. And Raghunath was thinking, there's no guards around. And he said to Yadunandan Acharya, there's no reason for you to speak up so late. You go back and rest and do your bhajan. I will take care of this. He said, all right. And when no one was around, Raghunath entered into the forest very fast. But he went not by the main road. He went in another direction, through the jungle. And so rapidly he traveled, 30 miles without stopping. And when night came, the next night, he stopped at a goshala, a cow shed, and he asked permission to sleep there. And the gopa, the cowherd man, he gave Raghunath a little milk to drink. Meanwhile, back home in Krishnapur, when Govardhan and his family woke up and they were looking for Raghunath, they asked Yadunandan Acharya, "Do you know where he is?" He says, "Yes, yes, I know." And he told what happened. They understood he escaped. He must be going to join Shivananda Sen, who's just on his way to Jagannath Puri from Bengal, to be with Lord Chaitanya for Rath Yatra and other festivals. So they sent some messengers, and they went to Shivananda Sen, "Send back Raghunath." Shivananda Sen said, "He's not with me. I don't know where he is." They didn't know if he was dead or alive. It was great, great tension and anxiety for the parents. Raghunath walked all the way through jungles to Puri. It took him 12 days. And he only ate a little milk or something three times. When he finally arrived at Puri, he came to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's residence where he was sitting. One of Lord Chaitanya's associates says, "There is Raghunath." And Lord Chaitanya placed his feet on his head. He said, "Raghunath, Krishna's mercy is so powerful that it has rescued you from material entanglement." And Raghunath was thinking, "I don't know what is Krishna's mercy. I only know your mercy, my beloved Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has rescued me." Lord Chaitanya was so pleased with him. And he personally put him under the care of Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami as the servant of the servant of the Lord. And in this way, Raghunath Das Goswami's desires were fulfilled. Lord Chaitanya told Govinda and Swarup Damodar Goswami, "Please take care of him. Give him my personal Maha Maha Prasad." So Govinda would deliver to Raghunath Das Goswami every day Lord Chaitanya's prasad. After 5 days, Lord Chaitanya was wondering why he wasn't eating his Maha Maha prasad anymore. He was told by Swarup Damodar Goswami that Raghunath is thinking that why should he get this great fortune of eating such special Maha prasad? He wants to be very ordinary. So he's standing in the evening as the pujaris of Jagannath Temple come out of the temple. Sometimes they give charity of some prasad to beggars. So he's begging at the steps of the Singhadwaram. Lord Chaitanya was very pleased to see his humility, his simplicity. After some time, Lord Chaitanya was informed that he's no longer at the Singhadwaram. Now he's going just to the simple charity booths where the beggars go. And Lord Chaitanya said, yes, this is very good. Because while standing at the steps of Singhadwaram, as the priests are coming out, you naturally think, he gave something to me yesterday. Will he give something to me today? What is he going to give me? And what is he going to give me? And in this way, you're seeing people according to what you'll get from them. So he's taken an even humbler position. And after some time, he didn't even go to the charity booths. Swarup Damodar Goswami found out what Raghunath was eating at night. When everyone was sleeping, Raghunath would go to a gate close to Singhadwaram. In that place, the shopkeepers who would sell Jagannath's prasad, after some days, if the prasad was too rotten to sell to humans, they would feed it to the cows by dumping it in a pile near that gate. And the cows would eat it. But if the rice was too rotten for even the cows would spit it out. And at night, that's all that was left there. Raghunath would carefully collect it. And because it was all dirty, because it was in a garbage pile with all flies and everything, because it was so dirty, he would carefully wash each grain and that inner little hard part that was in it. He would put that in a bowl. He put a little salt on it. And that was his diet. His only meal a day was that. Lord Chaitanya heard about it. And he came to where Raghunath Das Goswami was living. He said, Raghunath, I heard you are eating very, very nice feast every day. Why you don't invite me? Raghunath didn't know what to say. But Lord Chaitanya knows everything. He knew where that rice, where that cow prasad was. And he reached over and grabbed it. And he ate. He ate a morsel of it. Swarup Damodar Goswami stopped the Lord from taking. He was going to take more and more. Swarup Damodar Goswami said, this is not fit for you, my Lord. That's enough, that's enough. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I have tasted Jagannath's prasad so many times. His sabjis and his cakes and his sweets. Every type of Mahaprasad of Jagannath. But I have never tasted anything so satisfying as that which Raghunath Das Goswami is eating every day. What was Lord Chaitanya tasting? Gauranga Prabhu, could we make a feast of this type of prasad? Hanuman likes nice prasad. When you're hearing this story, this is for real. This is what he was eating every day. And he was eating the finest, most delicious, high-quality food cooked by the best cooks in Bengal when he was home. And now this is all he's having. Not just like once. Every day, nothing else. Why? Because this was his own unique personal way of being completely absorbed with all of his energies in serving his beloved Lord and chanting the holy names of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased with him that he gave Raghunath Das Goswami two gifts of the two possessions that were most dear to Lord Chaitanya himself. About three years before a sannyasi, he came from Vrindavan and presented to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a Govardhan Shila and also a Gunja Mala, a garland of a sacred seed that grows in the Vrindavan area. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the Gunja Mala as the grace of Srimati Radharani. And he saw the Govardhan Shila as Krishna's personal body. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was Krishna in the mood of Sri Radha's love, he would wear that Govardhan Shila over his heart. And when he would be in the deepest ecstasies of love, he would press Giriraj to his forehead. It's said that that Govardhan Giriraj Shila was always soaked with the tears of the love of Sri Gauranga. He gave to Raghunath. And he arranged with Swarup Damodar Goswami and Govinda to bring special quality sweets for Raghunath to offer to Giriraj. He worshipped Sri Giriraj as his life and soul. He saw that by Lord Chaitanya giving me this, he is giving me eternal residence at Govardhan Hill. And he is giving me the eternal loving service of Srimati Radharani. For about 16 years, Raghunath Das Goswami was engaged in the personal service of Swarup Damodar Goswami and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was seeing every day Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. And whatever he didn't directly see, he would hear from Swarup Damodar Goswami. And Swarup Damodar Goswami kept a diary. And Raghunath Das Goswami, he knew everything that was in that diary. When the time came that Lord Chaitanya passed, when he concluded his pastimes in this world, and not long after that, Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami concluded his pastimes in the world, Raghunath Das Goswami, he decided to go to Vrindavan. When he went there, he was thinking, let me end my life by jumping from the top of Govardhan Hill. Because the feelings of separation from his beloved lords was so deep. He met with Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami and explained to him his feelings. They told him, you stay with us as our third brother. Together we will engage in executing the mission of Sri Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya told Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis that they should reside for their whole lives in Vrindavan. They should acquire a library of the Vedic literatures and extract the very essence of all knowledge of all scriptures, which is the intimate, confidential love and devotion to Sri Krishna, as was exhibited by the Brijbasis, the residents of Vrindavan. Scientifically, systematically, and with great loving feeling, rasa, reveal to the world the treasures of prema bhakti.
And by your own example, display to the world the qualities of a true Vaishnav and one in the renounced order.
And build beautiful temples to the major deities of Vrindavan, to establish Vrindavan as a holy place of pilgrimage.
And with my grace, I will reveal to you the holy places of Krishna's pastimes.
Many of them have been forgotten. Establish them, excavate them, and reveal them to the world.
Rupa and Sanatan accepted Raghunath as their own brother. Interestingly, Raghunath Das Goswami, of the six Goswamis, was the first to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
And they told him, and no one in all of the world knows with realization the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya like you. So every day speak his pastimes and his teachings for us.
Together they lived in Vrindavan. For 3 hours every day, Raghunath Das Goswami would speak of the glories, pastimes, and teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And Rupa and Sanatan Goswami would eagerly hear, along with all the other great mahants of Brajbhumi.
After some time, Rupa and Sanatan gave Raghunath a place on the banks of Sri Radha Kund near Govardhan Hill.
While he was residing there,
how he lived,
it is explained by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami,
he was absorbed in chanting Krishna's names and remembering Krishna 22 hours a day.
He would offer his obeisances, his prostrated obeisances, 2,000 times to the Vaishnavas, 1,000 times to Krishna. He would chant minimum 100,000 names of Krishna every day. And maximum, he would eat, sleep, and do everything else for his body in 1.5 hours a day. And sometimes, he didn't have time to even do that. He was so absorbed. And what was his absorption?
We're an absorption running here and running here and doing internets and emails and going to the shop and going here and cleaning this.
He was just sitting on the bank of a pond. But he didn't have time to eat or sleep because he was so absorbed in remembering Krishna and chanting Krishna's name and offering obeisances to devotees and Krishna.
This was Raghunath Das Goswami. His absorption
describes he was so absorbed.
Radha Kund was just a pond. It was in the same basic state as when Lord Chaitanya first discovered it. It was just a little paddy field, and everyone just thought it was an ordinary little muddy field. He realized it was Radha Kund. It was the same when Raghunath was living there. It was just a little muddy field. He was worshiping it. He was bathing in it 3 times every day with great love and concern. He saw that it was the liquid form of Sri Radha's love, the holiest of all holy places in the entire creation. And he would be sitting on the banks of Radha Kund, chanting, absorbed in the memories of Sri Radha and Krishna. One day, according to Bhakti Ratnakar, 2 tigers, a male and female, big tigers, they came right up to him. They were smelling around. His eyes were closed, just chanting Hare Krishna. And the tigers went to Radhakund and were drinking the water. And as they were drinking the water, just a few inches from Raghunath Das Goswami, he was chanting, 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 Krishna, personally, in his form of Gopinath, Shamsundar, he stood right between Raghunath Das Goswami and the tigers. And he had a little stick to protect Raghunath. Sanatana Goswami happened to come by at that time and saw this. He just watched silently. The tigers went away. Krishna smiled and disappeared. Sanatana Goswami told Raghunath what happened. Raghunath was very embarrassed. Krishna's serving me. Sanatana Goswami said, you should build a little kutir, a little house for yourself so Krishna doesn't have to protect you. So Raghunath heard, but he was so absorbed, he didn't take it so seriously. And another day, it was the summertime. As far as I have been told, in the Guinness Book of World Records, the hottest place in the world is Govardhan in the summertime. Hare Krishna. For any reason, people hear the name Govardhan, there's a special grace that will come. So here is Raghunath in the summertime at noon. But 50 degrees Celsius. And the sun is burning on his head. And Raghunath's eyes are closed, chanting Hare Krishna. In remembrance of the beautiful pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, Shri Radha and Krishna. Srimati Radharani, she appeared, standing behind him. And with the cloth that covered her head, she uncovered her head to give shade to Raghunath Das. Sanatana Goswami again happened to walk by at that time. And he saw Srimati Radharani standing for hours in the summer sun, perspiring, just to make sure Raghunath Das Goswami did not get inconvenienced. And when the sun went down a little, she smiled and disappeared. Sanatana Goswami, he was very strong with Raghunath Das Goswami. This is Radhakund. You're supposed to be serving Radharani here. But you're putting yourself in such a situation that she has to come to serve you. She has to do austerities for you. You're supposed to be doing austerities for her. So build a kutir. Raghunath Das Goswami had a little kutir built. The lesson of this story, we cannot imitate, but the principle is sacred that we should all be striving to follow. Because most people, in their religious practice, they are expecting benefits from Krishna. Krishna, give me. And most of us have a list of things. Nadanamna janamna sundarim kavitam vajagatishaka. Mama janmani janmani shuri bhavatat bhakti rohaita kidvai. This verse tells everything. Raghunath lived by this verse. He only wanted to please Radharani and Krishna. He only wanted to serve. He wanted nothing from Krishna except the emotion to serve with love. And that's what he did. He built his little kutir just so that his service could be completely for the satisfaction of Krishna, just so that he would not be expecting anything in return. anything of this world. It is a beautiful story. At one time, while living, Lord Chaitanya told Raghunath in Puri, because he would be very humble to approach Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly, even though for 16 years he was right in Lord Chaitanya's association. Whenever he had a question, he would ask Swarup Damodar Goswami or Govinda. So one day Swarup Damodar Goswami came with Raghunath and he said to Lord Chaitanya, he has a question. He's asking what are his duties. And Lord Chaitanya gave a historical answer. The answer was, Swarup Damodar Goswami knows better than me. You can ask him all these questions. But since you're asking me, I will answer. Gramya katana shunibe. You should not speak prajalpa, mundane subjects. In other words, gossip. Gossip is especially hearing the faults of others and speaking the faults of others. Or even just uselessly, wastefully talking about mundane things. So do not gossip and do not hear gossip, prajalpa. Do not dress very opulently. Eat very simple. Always chant Krishna's holy names. Offer all respects to others and do not expect any respect for yourself. And if you do these things, then in your mind you will actually be able to render loving service to Sri Sri Radha Krishna in Vrindavan. And then he gave him the means by which he can do all of these. Trinadapi sunichena taror eva seheshnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. This is true renunciation. To be more humble than a blade of grass, more forgiving and tolerant than a tree, to offer all respect to others without sense of false prestige for oneself. In this sense, we can constantly be empowered to chant the holy name. You sound quite tired. Thank you. So Raghunath Das Goswami, while he was living at Govardhan, at one time he was just taking one little leaf cup of buttermilk or whey. And one day he was very sick. So the son of Sripad Vallabhacharya, Vitthalnath, came with two Ayurvedic doctors. Because in the sampradayas, the Vaishnav sampradayas were very united with intimate friendship at that time. They were brothers. They had deep love and respect for each other. So Vitalnath, with deep affection, came with these doctors because he saw Raghunath Das Goswami was ill. Vitalnath was staying at the Srinathji temple close to Govardhan, on Govardhan. And the doctors diagnosed him as having severe indigestion due to eating excessive milk and rice, sweet rice. So the bridge boss, this is impossible. Raghunath Das Goswami doesn't eat excessive sweet rice. He eats one little leaf cup of buttermilk all day, once a day. How could he be? They said, no, this is what he has. And they were arguing with the doctor, impossible. What kind of diagnosis is this? Raghunath Das Goswami smiled. And he explained that in his smaranam seva, in his manasa bhav, his meditation, he was in the pastimes of Sri Sri Radha Govinda Dev. And he was assisting the sakis in the service of Sri Radha. And they made wonderful sweet rice, kheer, paramana. And they cooked it, they offered it to Sri Radhika, who offered it to Krishna. And then she gave it back to him. And because it was tasted by Krishna, and then Srimati Radharani, in the form of a gopi, Manjari, he drank a lot of it. And in the meditation, because he drank that paramana, that kheer, now in his physical body, he was having this indigestion. So he told the doctors, give me the medicine, I will take. This was the absorption of the Goswamis. The spiritual and the physical, they unite in one in the leelas of the Lord. Raghunath Das Goswami, under the guidance of Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis, sat on the banks of Radhakund every day performing his bhajan. For 3 hours he would speak the life and teachings of Lord Chaitanya. One day he was thinking that this little pond is Radhakund. It should be excavated nicely so people will understand its glory. But then he was thinking that he was engaged in all this construction and development and management when he was a householder living in Krishnapur. He renounced all that. It would only be a distraction for him. So he offered a little prayer. What will please you, my Lord? At that time, there was a very wealthy businessman who made a lot of money. And he was a devotee of Badrinath. So he was traveling to Badrinath to give a great treasure to Krishna or Narayan. When he arrived, he had a vision while he was sleeping where Badri Narayan appeared to him and said, if you want to please me, bring all your money to Vrindavan. Go to Govardhan Hill, find Raghunath Das Goswami, and help him to excavate Radhakund and Shyamakund. Raghunath Das Goswami understood it as Krishna's arrangement. So he personally helped to design Radhakund, Shyamakund. As they were excavating Shyamakund, they were going to cut some trees so that they could make it square. But that night, Maharaj Yudhisthira appeared to Raghunath Das Goswami, told him, myself and my brothers, the Pandavas, are standing in the form of trees on the banks of Shamakund, in meditation on Krishna's leelas. So Raghunath Das Goswami designed the whole kund in honor and respect for the Pandavas. One time Raghunath Das Goswami saw that people were washing their pots and their clothes in Radha Kund, but there was no other source of water anywhere around. So he told some of the Brijabasis to dig a well. But as they were digging, they hit a rock, and the rock started to bleed. So they ran to Raghunath Das Goswami and said, there's a rock that's bleeding. So he said, stop the excavation. And that night, Krishna appeared to Raghunath Das Goswami and told him that Govardhan Hill is my body, and that place is my tongue, the tongue of Giriraj. He said, take that stone out and make a shrine for that people could come to have darshan. He did like that. In this way, on the banks of Sri Radha Kund, he chanted the holy names, he offered his dandavats, he meditated on the Lord, and especially for all of us, he spoke Lord Chaitanya's teachings. In a bhajan kutir close to his, was Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Let me speak something about him. There's not much known about him, because although he's one of the most prolific authors describing the life and pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and his associates, he hardly revealed anything about himself. But what we do know from his writings is he was from a town, a village called Jamatpur. Very great devotee of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. At one time, an associate of Nityananda Prabhu, one of his personal best friends, Miniketana Ramdas, he came to Jamatpur to do Harikatha and Harikirtan. In fact, there was a Kirtan festival going on. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was so happy. Miniketana Ramdas, the personal friend, associate, the Shaka of Nityananda Prabhu, has come to our village. This is glorious. But Miniketana Ramdas, like Nityananda Prabhu, he was very extraordinary, very spontaneous. When people would be chanting kirtan, he would go up and slap them. If they'd bow down, he'd jump on their back and slap them. Sometimes he hit them with his flute. So people would do this. But people from all directions were coming to offer their pranams to him and receive his blessings. But there was one pujari. And he did not have respect for Miniketana Ramdas. He kind of chastised, what are you doing? And Miniketana Ramdas saw he wasn't respecting him. So Miniketana Ramdas understood it wasn't about him. It was about Nityananda Prabhu. This person had faith in Lord Chaitanya, but not Nityananda. So Miniketana Ramdas chastised him, broke his flute, and left. So this is quite dramatic. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami had an argument with his brother. Kaviraj Goswami tells, my brother had great faith in Lord Chaitanya, but he didn't have faith in Nityananda. So I told him to have faith in one without the other is like the philosophy of half of a hen. Do you know what that philosophy is? You see, for certain types of farmers, you feed a hen food, and then they give you eggs. The eggs make you money, but you have to lose money to feed it. So cut the hen in half. Then you can get the eggs, but you don't have to feed it. Yes? Does that make sense? No, because if you do that, you kill the hen. So similarly, having faith in Lord Chaitanya without having faith in Lord Nityananda, it's impossible. Krishna tells, Mad Bhakta Puja Pyadika. The greater than worship of me is to worship those who I love and those who love me. It's like if you love the father, but you beat up the son or the daughter. Is the father going to be happy? You give the mother a pearl necklace, then you slap the daughter, the baby daughter, and make her cry. Is the mother going to say, oh, thank you for the pearl necklace, you're so nice? She's going to say, out from here, take your pearl necklace, I don't want it. Yes? To try to love Krishna without showing love for those who Krishna loves, it's contradiction. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained he personally spoke it. Whoever loves Lord Nityananda, I am his property. Whoever doesn't like Lord Nityananda can never please me. In other words, by loving the Lord's devotees and serving the Lord's devotees, the Lord is most pleased. Gopi Bhartur Padakamala Yora Dasa 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 Anudas. So, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami chastised his brother. And his brother didn't surrender. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami went to sleep that night. He pleased Lord Nityananda so much that that night, Nityananda Prabhu, not just in a dream, but in a vision, Nityananda Prabhu personally appeared to him, dressed as a cowherd boy, intoxicated with the ecstasy of Krishna Bhava. He was chanting, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And with his beautiful, loving, lotus-like eyes, he gazed upon Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. His eyes revealed that he was very pleased with him. And he pointed in the western direction and said, go to Vrindavan and all your desires will be fulfilled. Nityananda disappeared. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who was very old at the time, immediately, when he woke up, he just left. Didn't take anything with him. Didn't tell anyone. He just left. He walked. This is serious surrender. In those days, we didn't have cell phones to make an airline reservation. He just walked out of his house and started walking through the jungle in the darkness and went to Vrindavan. And there he made his residence at Radha Kund, immersed in the service of the service of the, as the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord's beloved devotees. And because he had such a deep service attitude, he was such a humble devotee. He had such eagerness to hear. He took notes of whatever Raghunath Das Goswami was speaking every day. He sat at the feet of Raghunath Das Goswami for year after year after year, 7 days a week, hearing the glories of Lord Chaitanya, that nobody else could speak like Raghunath Das. The great acharyas of Vrindavan all approached Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and told him, you should write the biography of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, because you have heard and you have the realization. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was so humble, he considered himself totally unqualified for such a thing. But the great Vaishnavas ordered him to do it. So he went to Madan Mohan Mandir. And there he prayed for the... He already received the blessings and the mercy of all the assembled Vaishnavas. And he prayed for the blessings of Madan Mohan. And right as he offered his silent prayer, the mala, the garland of Madan Mohan, fell from his body. And the priest picked it up and placed it on Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's neck. It was a confirmation. In Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he tells his readers that he has no qualification whatsoever. But because he's taking shelter of the feet of Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami, they are speaking through him. He's giving all credit to them. And he's giving all credit to all of us who are reading. He says, because of your enthusiasm to hear, Krishna is empowering me to write. He takes the dust of the feet millions of times of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, the author of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, declaring him to be the Vyasdev of Lord Chaitanya's Leela. And he praises Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat with such conviction and emotion. And then he tells that whatever remnants that were not explained in detail by Vrindavan Das Thakur, I will try to tell you those things. He began writing Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita when he was over 90 years old. Living on the banks of Radhakund in a little bhajan kutir, no heat in the winter, no air conditioning in the summer. There was no paper and pen in those days. He was writing, he and others had to prepare from tree bark or from palm leaves, paper, and etch it in it, make his own ink. And he wrote, it is a miracle. How am I writing? I'm going blind. I'm an invalid. I don't know my memory anymore, but still I'm writing. This is a great miracle. Nityananda Prabhu is writing this through me. He is the one that sent me to Vrindavan. He is the one who brought me to Rupa and Raghunath Das Goswami. It is their mercy that this is being written. He took no credit for himself. And our Vaishnavacharyas declare that the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is the postgraduate study of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the cream of all Vedic literature. Raghunath Bhat Goswami. I think we're out of time. But even if we're out of time, we can still... If anyone wants to go, please go. You are relieved and excused. But I'll speak only a few more minutes. Raghunath Bhat Goswami, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Nimai Pandit, he was just a teenager living in Srinavadweep Dham. But he became the greatest of all teachers of grammar and Sanskrit. And he went to what is now Bangladesh, was East Bengal. And there he was teaching thousands and thousands of students. They were very simple, poor people, but they were coming from all directions to study for him. Because he was such an incredible teacher that what ordinarily, traditionally, you had to study from a top-class teacher for 12 years to get that type of certificate of education. With Nimai Pandit, within a month, you can get the same knowledge and qualifications. So people really wanted to study under him. And they were simple people. After he was there for a couple months teaching, people were coming and giving him just simple gifts like coconuts and bananas and rice for him to take home with him. It was on the banks of the Padma River. Tapan Mishra, he was a Brahmin and a scholar. And he deeply studied Vedic literatures because he wanted to know the essence. What is the essence? What is the satya and the sadhana? What is the goal of life and what is the process to achieve it? But there are so many scholars and philosophers and so many different scriptures for so many different levels of people. He couldn't get a conclusive answer. What really is the goal of life and how to achieve it? Some were saying liberation, some were saying elevation to heaven, some were saying this and that, and some were saying meditation, and some were saying giving in charity. Every kind of thing he was receiving and he was learning. But he had such an eagerness for the essence, saragrahi, that one day the Lord appeared to him in a dream and told him the goal of life, Krishna. Nobody knows. Don't tell anybody I told you this. He is Nimai Pandit. He's in Bangladesh. He's about to leave. You should go to him and find out from him. So this great scholar, Pandit Tapan Mishra, he came to Nimai and offered his prostrated obeisance, offered his heart, his life. He asked if he could talk to him in private. He said, I had this vision. Can you tell me what is the goal of life and how to achieve it? And Lord Chaitanya, he encapsulated all the knowledge of all the scriptures and all history of all creation in such a simple, concise way. He said, the ultimate goal of life is to love Krishna. And the way to achieve it is to chant his holy names. And then he gave him, Lord Chaitanya personally gave him a mantra. He said, the best medicine to cure oneself of the disease of material illusion, the best food to awaken the ecstatic love of Krishna that is within our heart, is to chant this 32-syllable, 16-word mantra, which is called the Maha Mantra. And then he initiated Tapan Mishra in the chanting of the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
And the Lord told Tapan Mishra, what you have seen in the dream. Because Tapan Mishra said, I was told that you are that Krishna. Lord Chaitanya said, do not tell anyone this. Tapan Mishra wanted to come to Navadvip because he understood that Lord Chaitanya's mission was to establish this Harinam Sankirtan movement there. But Lord Chaitanya said, I want you to go to Varanasi and live there. And I will come there someday to meet you. So he went to Varanasi. And Lord Chaitanya established Sankirtan movement in Navadvip with Advaita and Srivas and Haridas and Gadadhar and with all the devotees. There were thousands of devotees. The Mahaprakash Lila, the house of Srivas. The great Kirtan procession to the house of Chankazi. All these Lilas. Tapan Mishra. He was in Varanasi. There was only one other devotee in Varanasi, Chandrasekhar. And almost everyone else there was criticizing devotees. But because it was the Lord's order, he stayed there. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after establishing Kirtan and Navadvip. Years later, he took sannyas. Then he moved to Puri. Then he went to South India, traveled by foot for 2 years, came back to Puri. He wanted to go to Vrindavan. He walked all the way to Ramkeli, Kanai Natashala, then went back to Puri. Then ultimately he came on his second attempt to go to Vrindavan through the Jarikanda forest. And he came to Varanasi. And there he met Tapan Mishra, Chandrasekhar, and at the time, Tapan Mishra had a son whose name was Raghunath Bhatt. He was a boy. Upon meeting Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he fell in love with the Lord. He rendered personal services to him. And after some time, with his father and mother's permission, he went to Puri. And he cooked for Lord Chaitanya. He was an expert cook. And he sang verses from Srimad Bhagavatam in 3 or 4 different tunes for Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya loved him. After 8 months, he sent him back and told him that he should serve his mother and father as long as they're living. He did that. And years later, Tapan Mishra, before he departed from the world, he chanted Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna's names, and he told his son, go back to Lord Chaitanya. When his mother and father departed, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami went back to Puri. There he rendered loving personal service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 8 months again. And Lord Chaitanya told him, go to Vrindavan. Live with Rup and Raghunath Das Goswami for the rest of your life. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order, and there he lived in Vrindavan in the ecstasies of loving devotional service. All the other Goswamis, Raghunath Das, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, Jiva Goswami later came. They would all find the greatest happiness tasting Raghunath Bhatta Goswami's prasad. He would love to cook for them.
And they would love to hear him recite Srimad Bhagavatam with such a sweet, melodious voice and such love, such emotion of devotion. In the mood of servant of the servant of the servant, he would assist Rupa Goswami in serving Sri Radha Govindaji. And Raghunath Bhat Goswami, being such a devotee, such a compassionate person, and such a scholar, he had many, many disciples. One of his disciples was a great general of Akbar's army. I think his name was Man Singh. And he had him build the Radha Govinda temple. The most majestic temple in all of north of India. And Raghunath Bhat Goswami himself would personally make ornaments, earrings shaped like sharks, fish, and a beautiful flute that he would offer to Radha Govinda. In this way, the six Goswamis, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, established the highest prayojan, goal of life for us to strive for. Total absorption in Krishna consciousness. And their character, their qualities, and their compassion. Srila Prabhupada, our own beloved founder Acharya, has given the gift of the association of these great Goswamis to all of us to share with all of the world. Thank you very much.